Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Doug Field, the CEO of the Institute for Healthcare Consumerism, and welcome to this week's edition of Healthcare Consumerism Radio. We're glad you could take time out of your schedule to join us. And joining me in studio is our radio producer, Jonathan Field. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. We got a pretty full program today. Let me talk about our guests that will be coming up here in about 9-10 minutes here. We're going to be talking first about wellness engagement with Sean McNamani, Senior VP Strategy and Product with Health Fitness, one of the leaders in health management. And he's going to be talking about some research they did recently on discussing some of the elusive drivers of wellness program participation. So we look forward to that conversation with Sean. And then following Sean will be Adrian Rawlinson, who's the Chief Medical Officer with OBO Health. And OBO is really one of the leaders providing decision-making tools that enable employees to make better healthcare decisions. And really that's what he's going to be talking about, better health through insight, you know, how to use healthcare data for the benefit of both employee and the employer. So be good to have Adrian on the program, you know, talking about that.
Return guest. Adrian actually joined us right around the time OBO launched, I believe. So it'll be interesting to hear how they're progressing and how their their technology decision support tools are coming along. And, of course, his CEO, Naveen, will be participating at IAC Forum West in a decision support health plan shootout of sorts.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing Naveen there. We're just over 30 days away from IAC Forum West and Private Exchange Forum, so we're hard at work bringing that together. And if you haven't checked out the current program and early bird rates, you can do that at www.theihccforum.com. We want to use this time on our opening segment to really announce our 11th annual Healthcare Consumerism Superstar and Innovator Awards. We're really pleased with the nominations that we've received. We've received a ton of nominations. We thank everyone out there that did submit a nomination. We've got 20 award winners. They will be recognized at IHC Forum West at a special award ceremony as part of the expanded opening reception on November 9th at IHC Forum West, where we'll also be showcasing CBiz Eddington Awards with the team at CBiz and D. Eddington. But our awards really represent professionals from employers, health plans, brokers, consultants, and solution providers who are really leading the way towards a more consumer-centric healthcare model through a wide range of innovation methods, best practices, plans and services. And as I said, in its 11th year, the Editorial Advisory Board is really pleased to really announce these 12 leaders. And, leading off with our top award, which is the J.R. Robbins Senior Memorial CEO Leadership Award, which really represents the total professional and individual, how they are in the community, how they are as a leader in their company, their vision for the marketplace, and what they're doing as an organization. And certainly well-deserving is Rob Butler, the CEO of Maestro Health. Congratulate Rob on that award. Our Public Policy Leadership Award is somebody who's really committed to working with public policy and compliance issues. And Jody Deedle, Chief Compliance Officer at WageWorks, is going to receive our Public Policy Award. Industry Innovators, Jonathan, which is very, fast-changing. We've got 5 award winners. Do you want to talk about a couple of those?
Yeah, of course. So we selected 5 executives from the vendor side. And, you kind of highlight some of the key areas in employer-sponsored health and benefits, forward-thinking areas of innovation. So we selected Michael Levin, and he is the CEO of Vericred. And, again, he will be at IAC Forum West as one of our expert moderators. And, VeraCred is all about healthcare data and powering decision support tools and, powering, a lot of these tools that are giving employers insight into where their costs are going. And they have grown a lot over the past year, announcing various partnerships. And in fact, just the other day they announced, large group provider network data and a partnership with Maestro Health to power, their Shop by Doc solution in the private exchange. And of course, Maestro, as you mentioned, another winner, Rob Butler, for our top award, and one of the partners, Maestro, Michael Levin, is, one of our industry innovators. Hill Ferguson, who actually took over as CEO of Doctor on Demand. So stepping into some big, shoes there with one of our favorite telehealth companies, the company that we've recognized in the past, Adam Jackson, of course, founder there. We've recognized them in the past. We've had several of their executives speak at our events, and Hill was brought on board to, take this promising company, heavily funded in Silicon Valley, and take them to the next level of bringing telehealth to the norm, making it, a commonplace and, more importantly, commonly used benefit inside employers of all sizes and, in health plans and making it accessible to health plan members. And so Hill, another winner. We have Dean Mason, CEO of Aclaris. Of course, Aclaris is, administrator of consumer-driven healthcare solutions, and they were acquired by Willis Towers Watson, major acquisition for them, which has, led to them being able to expand their business and what they're able to offer their clients. Alan Cohen, liaison, there's another...
Also now Willis Towers.
Another Willis Towers Watson, company, a subsidiary. It's hard, as far as them representing one of, our major award winners from the private exchange area, it's hard to, you can't really overstate how much liaison has done to impact, consumer-driven healthcare and benefits.
Yep.
They were really there at the forefront. They were talking about, marketplace, benefits marketplace technology before.
Yep.
Most people had any idea what they were talking about.
Yep.
So, Alan Cohen, of course. And then finally, representing more of a kind of population health care coordination, type angle, Kara Trott, who is the founder of Quantum Health, who's announced, they've announced several, innovative relationships. And, Kara has been a general session speaker at our events in the past and always done a fantastic job. And I think they have some really interesting ideas. So that's our five. Really, we tried to kind of go with these various angles. What are the maybe major sectors? And you're looking at telehealth, healthcare data, CDHC, private exchanges, population health, maybe arguably a couple of areas that we could have also added. But this is,
right.
Really strong group of CEOs, of C-level executives that are definitely changing the way that employers deliver health care.
And we're not going to have time on this first segment to go into all the award winners, but this will be up on our website next week, and key employers and brokers and consultants here, as well as another CEO Leadership Award that we'll talk about,
right,
you know, over the next week or so. But again, we want to congratulate all the award winners. They'll all be showcased at IHC Forum West. Check it out, www.theihcforum.com, and early bird rates are in place. I'd like to welcome our first guest on the program, Sean McNamee, who is Senior Vice President of Strategy with Health Fitness, a Trustmark company and one of the leaders in health management. Sean, good morning. Thanks for joining the program. Sean, you with us this morning? Okay. Well, you know, while we wait for Sean to come on the program this morning, let me go back to the awards and talk a little bit about the awards. Because one award winner that we really do want to recognize, another top leader in the space, is Steve Auerbach, the CEO of Allegis, one of the leading administrators in consumer-driven benefits. And, you know, Steve is going to be recognized for his leadership at Allegis, what he's doing in the industry and the market, really taking that organization forward. He's done some really quality work there and advanced it. So we want to congratulate Steve Auerbach, CEO of Allegis. Sean, are you joining us here? You here on the program? Sean, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sorry, guys. I went to unmute my phone and I hung up on you instead.
Well, nice to have nice to have you join us. You know, thanks for taking time out of your morning to join us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You bet. For audience's sake, Sean, give them a little background around Health Fitness, those who might not know you.
Sure. Health Fitness is a subsidiary of Trustmark Companies, and we have been in the business for about 40 years now of helping employers improve, promote their cultures of health within their employees and working with their employees to create lasting healthy behavior changes, whether that's through management of on-site fitness centers to management, design, and strategy around corporate wellness programs, health coaching, on-site, telephonic, biometric screenings, technology. So we kind of bring it all together and work with employers all over the country to help, as I said, promote long-lasting, healthy behavior change within their employees.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have you on the program again. Sean, you've done some research recently around a very important, topic, and that's how do we improve, you know, where are we as far as participation and engagement with employees and wellness programs, and, you know, what are some of these elusive drivers to improving participation? I mean, talk a little bit about, you know, what was the impetus to conduct this research, and let's talk about some of the findings.
Sure. You know, we conducted this research. You know, if you're paying attention in the industry, and obviously you guys are and others are, the buzzword for the last several years has been engagement. And what are we going to do to increase engagement? How do you increase engagement? How do you even define engagement, frankly? But what we really thought was lacking was somebody to really go out and talk to employees, talk to the people to whom we are offering these programs, and ask them, you know, get right from the horse's mouth, why are you participating or why aren't you participating? And let's try to understand, you know, let's take what we can learn from the people who are participating and engaging. How do we take that and apply it to those who aren't? And then with those who aren't, let's see if we can really ask them and dig deep into what are the barriers that are preventing you? I think, you know, too often we tend to default to, well, we need to pay them more, right? We need to give them larger incentives. And there's sort of been an incentive proliferation arms race over the last few years. Well, if we just keep giving them bigger and bigger incentives, then hopefully they'll continue to participate. And sure, that's incentives are important, but we said there's got to be more to it than that. And so we thought, let's go ask these folks directly.
So Sean, talk about some of the key findings that came out of the survey.
Sure. You know, there's there was a lot of interesting stuff that came out of this. At the same time, we also did some employer research, and there's all, mm-hmm. you know, as you might imagine, there's some interesting disconnects between what employers are thinking and what employees are thinking. And so we're certainly sharing this with our clients and helping them to understand what some of those gaps might be. But for example, you know, I think one of the biggest findings that came out of the research for us is the importance of culture. And, you know, that's really coming from, again, both the people who we talked to who were participants and who weren't participants. And the people who were not participating, even if they had programs available to them, in a lot of cases they're not participating because the culture of their employer doesn't really isn't conducive to their participation. So they might be offering programs, they might be offering incentives for programs, but then the company culture is sort of seems to be opposed to that. They're not given time during the workday to participate in the programs that their employers are offering. You know, they're not seeing from their managers a support for you know, for participating. One of the things that we've talked about for years in this industry is the importance of visible senior management support, senior leadership support for on-site, you know, worksite wellness programs. But what we found from our research was that people are saying, well, yeah, that's great, but I don't really identify with my CEO as much. I identify with the guy sitting next to me or my line manager. And if my line manager is saying, no, I'm not going to give you time to get up and take a walk around, even though theoretically on paper the employer is promoting, you know, getting up and moving, they're seeing that disconnect. They can smell it when the employer is not really being genuine about the offering that they're putting out there.
Yeah. So, what are some of the ways that an employer can go about better communicating the value of a wellness program?
Sure. You know, there's lots of different things, and one of the key findings that we found in the research was a big barrier for people is lack of information. In fact, I think about 70% of the people who aren't participating say the biggest barrier to their participating is lack of information. They just don't know. And in fact, that's one of the
Well, I was just going to ask you a question here. Is it truly the lack of information, or they just don't know where to go get it or where to find it?
Well, it could be. Yeah, it's a great question because it could be all those things. You know, I think what we found, again, in talking with employers was, you know, I think employers think they're doing a pretty good job of communicating, and the employees aren't feeling it. So is it that the communication isn't there? Is it that we're not communicating with employees? We're not meeting them where they are and talking to them in a way that they're going to listen? You know, one of the things we did focus groups as sort of an early component of this research, and I was fortunate enough to sit in on some of those. And just hearing from people who were saying, you know, I'm busy, right? People have lives, and people are, you know, they're going to work, they're working hard, they're commuting, they've got a you know, a short period of time when they get home at night to you know, have a quick bite to eat, help their kids with their homework, go to bed, and do it all over again. They're not paying attention as much as employers and suppliers like us maybe think they are, right? So maybe we think we're over-communicating. We need to communicate more because people just aren't they're not thinking about this stuff all day long like a lot of us are, and I think that was a key finding. So, again, if it's communicating more or making sure that you are understanding what are the ways that your employees want and need to be communicated with, putting a bunch of posters on the wall isn't necessarily going to do it.
Because we're all different too, right? It's called personalization too, right, as you've alluded to. It's like
absolutely.
The demographics of an employee population, and everyone's different. Everyone wants information differently, right?
Yeah, everyone wants information, and you know, your point about personalization is a good one. That's another key finding that we got out of this research is employees are saying, in terms of why they're participating or why they're not, is they want a program that is personalized and tailored to them and to their interests, to their time, to their needs. So it's not just the communication that needs to be personalized to the individual, it's the program itself. And what are we doing? We've got a lot of data on people. And yet, too often we're pushing kind of cookie cutter programs out there. So that's one of the big things that we at Health Fitness are taking away from this is we really need to do a better job of using the data that we have on people to create a program for them that is going to be unique and that is going to make them want to engage, and that it's not just the same thing. That what's good for one employee is not necessarily good for the employee that's sitting next to them.
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting. So you focused on both program participants. So those are the ones that are involved, and then non-participants. So, you know, how is it different for each of these groups?
Well, again, you know, it's interesting. One of the things that sort of fell out of the research, we didn't really go into it necessarily looking for segments to be created, but it almost kind of worked out that way, where there's sort of this spectrum of participation, and you've got on the one end of people who are participating, you've got people who are really committed, and they're doing this because they believe in the importance of being healthy, of well-being, and yes, of course, you know, we need to keep finding ways to keep those people really engaged and to continue to find good incentives for them, but they're sort of in, they're committed. And all the way at the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who are non-participants who we're calling the reluctants. They're just unwilling. Maybe it's that they're just overwhelmed by everything else they have going on in their life right now, and it's just, don't bother me. But then there's this whole spectrum in the middle. There are people who aren't participating who are very much on the fence. And really, you know, we think that it wouldn't take much, just a little more education, maybe making the programs a little more convenient for them to push them over the edge from sitting on the fence and not participating to sitting and to dipping their toe in the water and getting started in some of these programs. So, we really found that the lift is going to be harder for some folks at that far end of the spectrum, and maybe we shouldn't be focusing, and employers shouldn't be focusing resources on that. There's some people who just aren't going to do it. Let's accept that, and let's focus on the people who will if we just give them a little bit of a push.
Yeah, Sean, talk a little bit about one of the other elements is, in improving participation, I guess we all talk about is the importance of culture and building a culture of health. Talk a little bit about the importance of that in driving participation, and then what employers can really do to foster this culture of health.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. It's as I said, I think we don't give or we haven't given employees enough credit in the past probably for being aware of whether their employer is offering programs just to check a box, or if they're doing it because they really truly believe in and value their employees' health. And I think one of the things that we found was that in that group that is participating, they believe that their employer is doing this for the right reasons. They see that their employer is creating an environment at the workplace that is reflective of the programs that they're trying to put in place. And so, again, yes, it's about senior leadership involvement, sure, but it's about making sure that management at all levels is supportive, that managers are giving their employees time to get up and, take a walk around for a few minutes once an hour. Give them an opportunity, if you have an on-site fitness center, give them an opportunity to go down and do a quick group class during the day. You know, it's hard because you think, you're thinking about productivity and, well, geez, if I'm taking them off the phones for 20 or 30 minutes in the middle of the afternoon, that's going to have an impact on productivity. But I think, the research has shown that if your employee, they're healthier, they're happier, they've got better well-being, they're going to be more productive in the time that they're on the phone. So I would say, it's really about making it easy for employees to do the right thing. Don't let them, don't let work be an excuse for I can't participate, I can't make healthy choices because I'm chained to my desk, I'm chained to the phone, I'm chained to the line all day. Another thing is about building a strong social community. One of the things that we found from the research is the people who are not participating would participate if they were more aware of what people like them and coworkers like them who are similarly situated you know, they're looking, there's such a thing as peer pressure. And so how do you kind of create that and leverage it to get the people who aren't on the boat to get them on the boat?
Is that where some social media communications can help too?
Sure. I mean, social media is a way of doing that. And it's certainly one where I think, you know, the industry has been focused a lot on that over the last few years, on creating online social tools. And those are important, but it's more than that. It's just, it's fostering an environment at the workplace where, you know, people can actually physically see their coworkers getting up, going into the fitness center, getting up, taking a walk. That's the kind of social community that is visible to people, and that they can say, yeah, it's nice that my employer is offering me a website, but I can actually see that within my coworkers that my employer is supporting us making healthy choices while we're at work. And that's probably just as important as making social media online tools available to them.
That's very good. Anything else as we kind of wind this up over the next few minutes and keep talking about it, anything else you want to highlight with our audience about this research specifically?
You know, I think again, I think some of the disconnects that we saw between what employers and employees are thinking. You know, we asked employers about what are the drivers for them about how they're choosing a provider to work with for their corporate wellness and corporate fitness programs. And, you know, what employers are looking for and what employees are looking for are not necessarily aligned. Again, we heard that employees are looking for programs that are very personalized to them, very tailored to them. And when we asked employers what are they looking for, that didn't come up. There's certainly other very important drivers that came up for employers. They want to make sure that they're working with a vendor who is working with them to support their business goals, who is customizing a program at the employer level. But you know, we didn't hear the employers saying, and it's important to me that you're personalizing the program for my employees, and yet that's what the employees are asking for. So I think, you know, one of the things that came out for us is that we really need to we need to do a better job of kind of connecting our clients, the employers, with their employees who are our participants, and make sure that everybody is aligned, or at least understand where there might be different drivers and implement strategies to help kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah, that's good. Sean, as we kind of close up here too, you know, what's kind of your, in 30 seconds to 60 minutes, not or 60 seconds, what's your kind of view on where we are as an industry? You know, we all moving towards total well-being, et cetera. Where do you see us as an industry?
You know, I think it's the industry, as you said, yeah, moving towards a much more holistic view of well-being that is more than just the physical, that gets into the financial and the emotional, and certainly we're seeing that, you know, and we're obviously working and developing programs to address all that. I think it's also, you know, we're seeing an inflection point between the combination of technology and real kind of, you know, people-based services, where there's been a big focus on technology for the last few years. And technology is crucially important, but we're starting to see as an industry, employers are starting to realize that that's not enough, that certainly you need to give employees the technology tools, but if there's not human beings behind that to help back it up, you're not going to achieve your goals. So I think we're starting to see that. We're starting to see not a shift in the other direction, but we're starting to see that employers are realizing that technology alone isn't going to do it. You have to have a good balance of technology and people working with people to create behavior change. So it's an exciting time to be in this industry, and you know, we're hoping that this research that we've done can not just help us to be better, to create better programs, to create more engaging programs for our participants, but that can help the entire industry because you know, that's important.
Yeah, very, very good discussion today, Sean. Tell our audience how they can find you.
Absolutely. You can go on to www.healthfitness.com, and you'll get to see, not just learn about our programs and our approach to things, but We have a blog out there where lots of our leaders are opining on important issues that affect our industry, and we'd love to have you come out and check it out.
Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate you taking on your schedule. Great discussion, excellent talking points. You have a great weekend.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sean. Good discussion. And as we continue to highlight well-being, engagement, participation.
Absolutely.
And, all of that. So, again, I want to remind our audience that, you know, as we wait for Adrian to come on here, that CBIZ is working with us on the total well-being track. So you can get your arms around a lot of these different moving parts of this discussion through the quality work that CBIZ and Dee Eddington and the team has done. Great speakers, employer speakers, representatives in the industry as a part of this workshop track that CBIZ, Dee, and the team has put together. Really appreciate their work. www.thihccforum.com. You can check out the program.
Yeah, and actually, you know, just a moment ago I heard from Dr. Rawlinson, and he has a something that came up this morning. Unfortunately, he's not going to be able to make it on the air today, but, you know, we do want to have him back in the coming weeks. You know, we'll definitely miss him today, but better health through insights. You know, we'll get him back in October. Got a couple more good shows coming up as we lead into, you know, our Vegas events. Some really fantastic people in the next weeks. And, you know, we talked about wellness today.
Yep.
We talked about the movement to total well-being. And, you know, it's really clicking with a lot of employers these days. And
it is.
It's really pulling together kind of some disparate parts that employers have already been working on. When we talk about financial wellness, we talk about productivity and mindfulness, resilience, engagement.
Talk about caring.
Yeah, caring, which Dee Eddington will present on. And, you know, it's so, you know, it's pulling together all these different parts that HR and C-suite executives have already been looking at. And, you know, as you mentioned, CBIZ will be, you know, discussing a lot of this at Forum West. And the radio show, really, for the rest of the month is going to have a distinctly wellness focus. Next week we have Jessica Grossmeyer with Hero, and she's always fantastic. They do their scorecard, and I believe they have new data.
Yep.
So Jessica will be on next week, and following Jessica will be Jeff with Vivere, and they've been on the show before. Another wellness vendor out of the, I think, Dallas, Fort Worth area or somewhere over there in Texas. And, you know, we're going to be hearing the latest from them. Following week will be some of our partners from CBIZ. And then we're going to have Jen from Redesigning Wellness. They're a fellow podcast, and she's, you know, thought leader in the wellness space. And then great, you know, 121 Benefits, a new TPA out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. Not quite the wellness focus there, more on CDH administration, but, you know, sorry we're going to miss Dr. Rawlinson today. He'll be back on the show. Stay tuned. We'll be back next Friday, the next Friday, the next Friday, and the next Friday before Forum West. We've got four more shows for our Las Vegas event.
Yeah, and again, we thank you for joining us today. You know, part of this disruptive marketplace is actually Adrian getting caught up in some other priorities. He's been a great guest with us, as Jonathan said in the past. So we thank you for joining with us today, taking some time out of your schedule. We look forward to having you join us again next Friday on Healthcare Consumers and Radio. Have a great week.